On Sunday, October 1st, the Knoxville Symphony Chamber Orchestra will kick off the Chamber Classic Series with music by Franz Joseph Haydn, Sergei Prokofiev, and H.K. Gruber. Here to speak with me about this concert is Knoxville Symphony Orchestra conductor and music director Aram Demirjian. Aram, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Garrett. Good to be with you.
So we're quickly moving through the first part of this season. You've already conducted a few concerts with the KSO so far, and up next is the first concert in the Chamber Series. Now, before we talk about this concert specifically, I'd like to ask you about your philosophy for these chamber concerts. What's the purpose of orchestral chamber music from your perspective?
So a lot of the chamber orchestra repertoire, when you say chamber orchestra, actually is really the classical repertoire.
Right.
Mozart, Haydn, early Beethoven, early Schubert. But even going forward into the late 19th century and particularly into the 20th century, composers would still occasionally write music for this smaller, more intimate orchestra. And some of it is among the more experimental, for lack of a better word, pieces that many composers wrote. Stravinsky had an expression, and Stravinsky was actually somebody who wrote a lot of chamber orchestra music.
Oh, yeah.
Stravinsky had an expression that said, chains will set you free.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically means it's when you limit your options and you limit the resources that you have to work with, it can really spur creativity because you have to be industrious and economical at the same time in what you write. And so that there's just so many fascinating works for this size orchestra. Also, from a performance perspective, the ideal for any orchestra of any size is to be functioning as a large chamber group.
Right.
And the conductor is just a part of that chamber group, where all the things that you're thinking out, all the things that you would be thinking about with a string quartet or a woodwind quintet are still all functioning just on a slightly different scale. Everybody is still breathing together. Everybody is making eye contact. Everybody is listening intentionally. It's almost like the larger the orchestra gets and the more spread out across a stage an orchestra gets, those, you know, the challenges to that chamber music atmosphere become that much greater. Because, you know, if you're a cello player on one side of the stage, there is a sea of people between you and the principal flute that you might need to be listening to. Yeah, I know you yourself are a bassoon player, and you probably reside in the section of the orchestra that is the most like a chamber group, which is the woodwind section. But, you know, doing music in a chamber orchestra, I think, just allows us to tap in to those chamber music sensibilities even more than we get to on our Masterworks programs.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go ahead and talk specifically about this first chamber concert. So one of the pieces is by Haydn. He wrote over 100 symphonies, 104, I believe. Why the 60th? What was your inspiration behind choosing that one?
Well, it goes into the theme that runs throughout the entire program. The theme of this program is humor and satire. And Haydn wrote a number of humorous symphonies. He was really kind of he had a tongue-in-cheek sense of humor in a lot of what he wrote. And, you know, I think that, I mean, I don't know if he ever said this, but I think that he's one of those people who would have said, you know, it's okay to laugh during a concert. You know, we have all of these modern, you know, standards of etiquette when we're in a concert hall, and they're there for important reasons. I mean, you know, if there's sound in the room beyond the music, then it can interfere with the music in certain settings. But in Haydn's time, that just wasn't the case. You know, I mean, the expectation was that the audience was going to be reactive to what they were hearing as it was going on. There would be clapping between the movements. There would be a guffaw if something clever happened on stage. And, this is a funny symphony. I mean, it's in six movements, unusually.
Mm-hmm.
There are just lots of musical surprises, whether they come in the form of sudden dynamic shifts or, you know, harmonic turns that you don't expect. the most obvious one in the last movement, where it all just kind of falls apart, and then the orchestra takes a second to retune, right. And it's written right into the music.
Yeah, I'm getting tickled thinking about it. Well, and Haydn, you know, he inspired many composers to come, including another one of the composers on this concert, Sergei Prokofiev, and his classical symphony is one of my favorite. Do you want to talk a little about the classical symphony of Prokofiev?
Yes, absolutely. Well, like you were saying, the symphony as a form wouldn't be the symphony without Haydn. I mean, you wouldn't have Mozart, you wouldn't have Beethoven without Haydn. Prokofiev, you know, wrote the classical symphony as, you know, as a student. It was a student piece. And, you know, there was an extent to which he was writing it to prove how much that he could do with limited instrumental resources.
Right.
And it was also, it was very much both an homage but also a parody of a Haydn symphony.
Right.
So you'll hear a lot of the same devices, musical devices, that you'd hear in Haydn's 60th symphony, or really any of Haydn's symphonies, but you will hear it with a slightly, you know, with a Prokofiev edge to it, for lack of a better term. You know, I don't know, for some reason, you know, Prokofiev really wrote some of the most beautiful music ever written, but in his orchestral music, and particularly his faster orchestral music, the words that come to mind, there's like a mechanical sort of metallic edge to his sound, and I don't mean that as a bad thing. There is something very, very bright about the Prokofiev sound.
Yeah, and he's such a dynamic composer, because we have pieces like his classical symphony, we have pieces like his fifth symphony, which sound very different than that, and then there's also things like Peter and the Wolf. Just such an interesting character in the history of classical music.
And then you've also got Romeo and Juliet, the ballet, which completely turns my whole statement about mechanical whatever up on its head.
Yeah, I read once that some of the premier performers in that ballet were actually a little afraid of the music. It was so unlike anything they'd tried to dance to before. So, and finally, we have a piece on this concert that I'm actually not familiar with, a piece by Heinz Karl Gruber, Frankenstein. Tell us a little bit about this.
Frankenstein truly is a modern classic, a modern masterpiece. It has already been cemented as an essential part of the classical repertory. It is a piece for, well, actually, it's not a piece. It is a pandemonium.
Okay.
Is what the composer calls it.
You use that word because that's what the composer
calls
it.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Yes, it is a pandemonium for baritone, chansonnier, and orchestra. Now, what a chansonnier is, it's not a narrator, it's not a singer.
And it's not a glass of wine.
And it's not a glass of wine. Although I'm not going to say a glass of wine wouldn't be helpful in this piece. But no, so it's not a narrator and it's not a singer. It's whatever falls in between those two. I mean, it's what Arnold Schoenberg would have called, you know, in the style Sprechstimme, speak singing.
Right.
And this piece is going to feature a local baritone, Scott Bearden, as our chansonnier. It is a musical setting of a set of children's poems that looks at the idea of heroes and villains through very familiar childhood characters. I mean, we encounter Dracula, we encounter Superman, we encounter Batman, we encounter John Wayne at one point. You know, in very playful, tongue-in-cheek fashion, but with somewhat sinister undertones.
Right.
And in the middle of all of this, a literary hero, I guess, but also anti-hero, Dr. Frankenstein, appears. And Frankenstein represents the villain that operates behind the scenes that we don't notice at all of our peril. And all of these childhood poems are actually also allegorical to how we perceive heroism and how we perceive villainy in our society as well. And there is a subtly rebellious aspect to the piece in that sense, also reflected in the instrumentation, because at certain times members of the orchestra put down their assigned instruments and pick up toy instruments to play as well.
Okay, looking forward to that for sure.
Yeah.
So on this concert, we're going to hear Haydn. We're going to hear Prokofiev sort of trying to sound like Haydn, and then this work. Are there connections there? Will the audience be able to bridge the gaps there?
I don't think that there are, there certainly aren't as many direct musical connections. The thought was more that anything goes,
okay.
I guess, was the idea. And to show that even going back as far as Haydn, there are no rules, there are only norms of behavior, and composers have been breaking those norms really since the beginning of what we think of as the modern classical era.
Right. Well, that sounds really exciting. And as I've mentioned, we all look forward to that. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Garrett. Good talking to you.
The Knoxville Symphony Chamber Orchestra will present music by Haydn, Prokofiev, and Gruber on Sunday, October 1st at the Bijou Theater at 2:30 p.m. More information on this and future concerts can be found at knoxvillesymphony.com.